Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. This afternoon, we're expecting Richard Haight to join us, author of a best-selling book on meditation and how meditation might be able to help us with our job hunt. So hopefully he'll still be able to join us today. But in the event that he can't, we will reschedule him for another time. And I wanted to invite you today to share with me in some of my favorite job hunting tips. This program started about 4.5 years ago in April of 2016. And one of my favorite things that we used to do on the show is we would have mock interview Mondays, and we would often have guests on the show who we would do mock interviews with. So today I thought it would be a lot of fun to share with you some of my favorite interview tips from the 15 plus years that I have in recruiting. But before I do that, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsors, the people over at Markham Search LLC. Markham Search offers premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States, including temporary services, as well as direct hire services and payrolling services. So please do keep them in mind for all of your recruitment needs. So today, let's talk about some of my favorite interviewing techniques. One of the most important things in any interview that you're going to do is a technique that I like to call proactive versus reactive interviewing. The obstacle that many of us face in life, whether it's in an interview or in a business meeting situation, is that we react to people and circumstances rather than proactively anticipating the things that may trip us up. So let me give you an example. Let's say hypothetically that you're about to go into a job interview and maybe you've been unemployed for 6 months. Now, you would already know that one of the concerns an employer might have, not that they will, but they could have a potential concern around, is the fact of what have you been doing for the past 6 months? Now, many of us actually will go into an interview and we will react. You're kind of like the guy from The Matrix. Why did you leave here? Why did you leave there? Tell me a little bit about, you know, what you've been doing for the last 6 months. And when that happens, it's not fun because we're on the defensive rather than the offensive. So something you could do if you were out there and getting ready to go into an interview is imagine that you're looking at your resume as the employer, or have a friend do it for you, or have a recruiter, if you know one, tell you and walk you through the reasons why somebody might have concerns about your resume. One reason might be lack of experience in a particular area. Another reason might be maybe you've had short job stints, 2 years here, 2 years there, or perhaps a gap in employment. None of these things are good or bad or right or wrong. However, they might cause an employer to pause and have hesitations about your resume. I have good news on this, though. Once you get the interview, your resume has done its job. They want to hire you, they want to help you, and they want to fill that position that they have. So how we answer some of the very first questions in an interview is going to make or break whether or not you get hired for that job. So how can you proactively share about some of those concerns? One thing that you can do is when they ask you the opening question that you might be asked, some variety of, tell me about yourself, walk me through your background, or perhaps even a very direct question such as, why have you not been working for 6 months? This is your opening. This is your opportunity to then address any potential concerns or hesitations that they might have. So I'm going to share with you a great formula that I love to use when it comes to interviewing. If somebody says, tell me about yourself, start off with why you got into the profession. Then elaborate from there on why you've stayed in the profession during that time period and share from there as well some of the things that any reasons for leaving, any of those things that might be potential concerns for a potential for a client or a person who's interviewing you, and then tie those into the history of your job. Now, it can be cumbersome to go through painfully. First, I left there, then I left there, then I've not been working. Have it be fluid. When you don't make something a significant deal or a big deal, it becomes less significant for the potential employer. So an example, let's say that you've had 4 jobs in the last 10 years and that you haven't been working for 6 months. How I might handle that in a tell me about yourself or if somebody asks me about my movement is I would start off with, gosh, you know, when I first got into recruitment, I really loved it. I knew it was my passion right away because I loved helping people. I started off working for a boutique recruiting firm. However, what was missing for me, and this is a little secret as a side note, talk about what was missing in job A that was available to you in job B. So what you would say is, gosh, started off in recruitment. What was missing for me at the first company I worked for was that there was a lot of high turnover. In fact, I remember my second month on the job, the entire office turned over. And as much as I loved what I was doing every day, I wanted a job with more stability and where I could count on the people I was going to be working with day in, day out. So that had me pivot and work in a boutique legal law firm, which wound up being a lot of fun and I really enjoyed it. However, during that time, 2008-09 hit, and so many of the job seekers that I helped were now unemployed. And I wanted to give back, and there wasn't a way to do that when the market was down. So that's why I pivoted again and created a career consulting company. I did that for a couple of years. So you get the sense of this. So I'm actually giving you examples of how I would address these circumstances, even if it were me in my own job history. So you go through, and then the last part of that, so you're addressing any potential concerns. The last part of that is you leave them with something that one of your references would say about you. Where have you stood out compared to others? What is something that perhaps a reference might say about you or that somebody might say about you that was positive? So in my case, I might say, gosh, and so I spent a couple of years doing this. And then when you're talking about why you've not been working, that's a very touchy thing. Or pause. Actually, it doesn't have to be a touchy thing. It could be a touchy thing. So just soften your approach when you speak about that. And then say, I chose to take 6 months off. Watch your language. If you use victimization language such as, it's not my fault, I was laid off against my will, the person then is going to pity you rather than want to hire you. So even if you have been unemployed for 6 months, a year, or however long that might be, given the circumstances, whatever they might be, I would still soften the language on that and say, you know what, I took these last 6 months, I've been having an opportunity to retrain myself on Excel and some other skills, and now I'm really excited to go back to work permanently. I think the reason that I would be an amazing asset for you and your team is that people say I'm very, very reliable. In fact, most of my references would tell you I'm one of the most integrous people that you'll ever meet. So to recap for you, the formula that we just used there to do proactive rather than reactive interviewing, you start off in your tell me about yourself or the opening question with a little bit about your history and highlighting any reasons for leaving or anything that might be a potential concern. Then if you have a gap in employment, you softly explain it in a non-reactive way using languaging such as, oh, what I learned was, or what was great about this opportunity that I had to pause was, and then you finally leave them with an example of something that has you stand out from others. On that same note, one of the other things that can be very activating for people is why you left your last job. Oftentimes when I've been recruiting over the past 15 years and I would work with people on their tell me about yourself statement and being proactive, an employer may on occasion go back and nitpick about a particular job. They might say, well, I'm really concerned that you only spent 3 months at Culver Careers, which at that time, even in my own career, I did. When I first started off in recruiting, I think it was August of 2004, I did only spend about 3 or 4 months at that job. So when you're talking about why you left a job in more depth, you always want to use what I call the good, bad, good method. Start with something positive. Start with why you originally took the job. Lightly touch on what was missing or what didn't work out, and then leave them with what had you go into a new position. So to use the example of myself back in the day when I started recruiting, I would say, gosh, you know, when I started off at Culver Careers, it was a wonderful learning experience. I had never done recruitment before, and we were all in a bullpen. And so I could overhear all of my colleagues, which I really enjoyed. You know, things, as I mentioned, there was a lot of turnover there, and I just didn't really feel stable. But one of the best things that came out of my experience working there was my mentor, Catherine Devereaux. She was the vice president. And we're still friends to this day. And that environment, and I was so grateful to get into a role specializing in recruiting for law firms in particular. And that's kind of what spearheaded my career. So notice I used good, bad, good. Now, a really fun part of interviewing that can be fun and easy and effortless when you use these techniques is talking about why should we hire you? Why should we hire you? That is the age-old question. Now, I'm going to pivot for a moment and share a little secret with you. Why should we hire you is the same thing if you're in sales, you're trying to get a new account, whether you're going in for an actual job interview. The why we should hire you is something very powerful to know about what value you bring to the table, whether you're discussing it in a business meeting or whether you're talking about it from an interview setting. The rules are the same. Be specific. And one of my favorite old techniques that I used to use is called the PEP method. P-E-P. Where have you increased productivity, efficiency, and performance? The pitfall that I would say I've seen a lot of job seekers fall into, and business executives as well who go into meetings, is that we accidentally kind of revert to using fluffy adjectives. I might say something like, oh, I'm hardworking, or I'm detail-oriented, or I'm reliable. Now, even for the example that I gave earlier, that would not have been the ideal example because ideally I would have given a story or an example of where somebody was able to rely on me. So a fun thing that you can do before any interview you go into or any business meeting for that matter is I invite you to write down the top five reasons why someone should want to hire you. That's the easy part. It can be adjectives such as, or descriptions such as hardworking, organized, reliable, good at working with teams, whatever those things might be. Now, the second part that will really have you soar and be successful in all of these meetings and interviews is to write down the story or the evidence of where you've increased productivity, efficiency, or performance. So that's why I like to use the analogy of employers want to hire people with PEP, P-E-P. There was a great story, actually. One of the very early on interviews that I did with one of my favorite co-hosts who used to often join me was Allison Garrido, who is a career coach. And she gave an example. You'd have to go back. It probably would have been an episode back in 2016 or early 2017 that Allison and I did. And she gave an incredible example on that show that I think is worth sharing. She said that there was a SOAR method. I think it was S-O-R-E method. And it's about telling a story. And what she shared is she said, Jennifer, person A could walk into an interview and say, I was walking down the street and there was a stick in the middle of the road and I moved it. Okay, not a bad story. It's just a story. Person B could say, I was walking down a very busy thoroughfare. And on that busy thoroughfare, there was a huge trunk that was blocking people's ability to walk down that thoroughfare. So a lot less people were able to walk down it. What I did is I moved that trunk and then double the amount of people were able to walk down that thoroughfare every day after that. Now, that's a great example because what I loved about when Allison shared that tip is that it's talking about a specific result that you produce. And no matter who you are or what your background is, there are always results. And sometimes if you get stuck, one of my favorite games that you can play with friends and family is ask them, What is my superpower? I'll say that again. Go out to your friends, family, colleagues, old bosses, peers, and ask them, what is my superpower? Now, that's a great way to kind of engage in what are the things I'm really good at? And then even say to them, you know, I know you always tell me that I'm somebody reliable and integral and that you can count on. Can you remind me of a story of a time where you were really able to count on me? And so it doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be an arduous, difficult thing for you to do this. And it is what will have you stand out in an interview. Now, to bring it full circle back to the idea of being proactive rather than reactive, another cool thing that I would love to share is that you can then take those five things. So you have now five attributes plus five little vignettes or stories that you're going to be doing, right? Now, what you could do is that you could then share those throughout the whole interview, regardless if somebody says to you, Bob, why should we hire you? You can use a technique that I learned many years ago when I started doing television work called blocking and bridging. And it's a technique that publicists use. You'll often notice it with politicians, actors, actresses, where they'll be asked a question that's very pointed on camera, and then they will block and bridge over to another pre-planned talking point. Now, the good news is in an interview, the whole purpose of the interview is to figure out why they should want to hire you. So when you're blocking and bridging, I want to be clear, it is not a manipulative thing. It is not going to hurt your interview. It is only going to make it better. So an analogy I used to love to give when I was doing a lot of speeches on this topic was I would have somebody from the audience ask me a very obtuse question about anything. So say somebody would say, hey, Jennifer, what's your favorite flavor ice cream? I'll give you an example of how I could block and bridge over to a pre-planned talking point about why it is that people find me reliable. Hypothetically, you say to me in an interview, Jennifer, what's your favorite flavor of ice cream? I'd say, gosh, you know, my favorite flavor of ice cream is honeycomb ice cream. And thank goodness for honeycomb ice cream, because I remember when I was in the middle of a very hard recruiting project very early on in my career, we got a document review project, which means that a law firm needs 40 or 50 people all at once. And thank God, because I was there very, very late, it's rare to do overtime in recruiting. I was there for 3 or 4 hours. And because of that, I had some honeycomb ice cream in the freezer, and that's what got me through that. And I was able to pound out that project, and we actually wound up filling the roles. So that's just an example of where you're blocking and bridging and tying in something that they're talking about while simultaneously giving them a reason why they should want to hire you. Another very fun question that often gets misinterpreted in an interview is the weakness question. Everybody always kind of cringes when people say, what is your weakness? This is also something that I think it doesn't have to be hard work. You could, if you're not clear on what your weakness is, you could go out and you could ask friends and family, what is the one thing that if you could give me a gift, it would be to work on this one thing? So it doesn't have to be heavy or a big deal. So you could ask friends and family and notice. Or if you're somebody who's naturally self-aware, then you might go, oh, okay, I could really work on this. For me, it's impatience. Now, it's something you want to be thoughtful about how it is you approach this. One of my favorite stories and examples of a job seeker in this was years ago. I remember she was getting ready to go in for an interview when we were preparing her for this interview with a major law firm in Century City. And I said, what's your biggest weakness? And she said, oh, Jennifer, I stay up late every night worrying about what's going on my attorney's desk, and I show up late to work every day. Not what we're hoping for. It's not that you need to share and dump your deepest, darkest secrets out there for everybody to hear and say. Like, for example, if I were going to use my example of a potential weakness that I just gave of impatience, I could use even a fun story. I'll share with you one from today. If somebody says to me in an interview, Jennifer, what is your weakness? I'd say, gosh, you know, one thing that could be considered a weakness is that sometimes I might have less patience. Notice I'm not using the word impatient. I'm saying sometimes I have less patience when I have timelines. A great example of that was earlier today, I went for a walk with my dog and I had a couple of shows to record. And so I noticed that I was getting a little bit antsy because I wanted to walk the dog and get back up in time for my shows. And so as I was going for the walk, I noticed myself getting a little bit activated. And then I paused and I said, oh, wait a second. What is the opportunity here? And I thought, oh, this is great. So my dog wasn't peeing. You know, for any of you dog walkers out there, you know that's frustrating when you have somewhere to get to and your dog is not using his time effectively or her time effectively. And so I was like kind of pee, dog, pee. And the moment I let go of needing to get something done in a particular time frame and I just let it go, the dog did his business. It all worked out with ease and effortlessly. And it was a great learning reminder for me not to get activated about stuff. Now, to take it back to the example of the woman I gave the example of who was going for that interview years ago, I'm going to share with you the same formula that I taught her years ago. What could be considered a potential weakness is X because of Y and Z. However, at the same time, because of A and B, it's a great opportunity of something I'm learning on and could be considered a positive. So what employers are most interested in when you're asking or talking about those questions, they want to know that you're going to discuss solutions and not hammer in and focus in on the problem. So an example of that with a woman I said who likes to stay up late, I said, what if you said instead, what could be considered a potential weakness is that I'm the sort of person where I really prioritize my attorneys above and beyond all else I'm doing. And so sometimes how that could show up as a weakness is I get so focused on them that I need to work on my timeliness with things. So notice we didn't say that she shows up late for work. We focus on her timeliness. And how I'm working on that is I've learned to give myself more space and to find ways to balance myself so that I have a better work-life balance for myself and to achieve all the things that I want to achieve. So that's a fun, easy way that you can bring play to the interview and especially to the question about the weakness. A lot of these questions could be considered emotionally charged. And the more that you let go of the significance and that you bring play and fun to it, the more effective you're going to be. So one of the last things that I'd love to leave you with today, I'll leave you with two more things because I know there's so many valuable tools that we could talk about when it comes to job hunting and interviewing. But one of the other ones, similarly to the weakness question, is the question of, tell me about a time where you dealt with a challenging person or situation. That one can hook people really quickly, right? It's so easy to talk about that client we had who was a jerk, our colleague who we really didn't like, our boss. And the default that we often can go into as human beings is to badmouth, gossip, and complain about the situation because it kind of activates us. What employers are interested in when they're asking you about the challenging person or situation, they don't care about the person or situation. They care about your solution to it. And to this day, the best answer I've ever heard to this question was a woman who was sitting in my office and we were preparing her for a particular interview. And as we were talking about this, she said, Jen, I have a great story for you about this. You see, I once went in for an interview with the CEO. She was an executive assistant turned legal assistant. And she said, when I sat down in that CEO's office, he said, I'm going to yell at you and what are you going to do about it? And was just very amped up. And she said, well, sir, how I'm going to handle it is when you yell at me, I'm going to stand up, walk out of your office, walk down the hall, sit down, and then let you finish yelling and getting it out of your system. And he said, fine, you're hired. And so this was the answer she actually gave in the interview. And sure enough, about 3 or 4 weeks into her employment, he started doing exactly what he said he would do. He started yelling at her and giving her a hard time. And she did exactly that. She didn't get activated by it. She just simply stood up, walked out of his office, walked down the hall, came back, sat down, and he actually started laughing about how she handled it. And she actually wound up having a great relationship with that particular CEO for many years thereafter. It's important to look at what was the solution, less about the challenge and the person and more about the solution. So the final thing I'll give you is when it comes to salary, it can be very tricky depending on what state you're in and what part of the world that you're in, because sometimes in certain parts of the world, like for example, in California, New York, Philadelphia, an employer cannot ask you what you were making in the past. So in a lot of states, I think that's now the case, at least in the United States. So it's important not to volunteer that information. Don't share if somebody says, how much are you looking for? I would encourage you to avoid saying, oh, I was making $80,000 in my last job and I'm now looking for that or something similar. Instead of using that languaging, what I would say is, gosh, I'm open and flexible to any fair offer. Now, if you say that and then the person who's interviewing you pushes you a little bit more, what you could then say instead is say, gosh, well, I would love to be somewhere in the low to mid 80s. So notice that we're giving a range that is around where you want to be at without telling the person how much it is you're already currently making. Now, the reason you don't want to do that is, let's say hypothetically, I have a job paying $90,000 and you tell me that you are making $80,000. I might try to lowball you. Or vice versa, I might have a job paying $70,000, which is within your purview of what you would accept. You tell me you were at $80,000 and I've now canceled you and disqualified you for the position because I think, oh, I don't want somebody who's going to take a pay cut. So when talking about salary, always use terms like low, mid, high. I'm looking for the low to mid hundreds. I'm looking for the high 90s. Use those sorts of ranges because you are in zero position of power to negotiate an offer until you first get the offer. So I'm Jennifer Hill. Thank you so much. We will schedule Richard Haight to join us another time. And I'm so happy that you were able to be here with us today. And I hope this was helpful. We haven't done one of these shows in quite some time. And I figure, you know, unfortunately, with everything happening in the world and so many people being unemployed, brushing up on our interview skills never hurts. And for those of you who are interested in meditation, which was going to be the topic that we were going to deep dive into today with Richard Haight about his new best-selling book, I do host a weekly meditation that is completely free. It's called the Coalition for Global Unity. And to watch that free meditation every week, or even to find all the old ones that we've already done, you can go to awaketvnetwork.live. And at the top of that screen, you'll see a link that says Coalition for Global Unity. When you click on that link, you'll find not only the meditation that happened today with best-selling author Marsha Lefferts, but all of the other meditations that we've been doing. It's 52 weeks straight of free meditations every single Monday on awaketvnetwork.live at noon Pacific time. And a lot of the times during these shows that we're doing, during these coalition experiences, we do consciousness and give you some different tools and techniques in case you do want to meditate and learn to meditate. I personally have found meditation it helps me to be effective. I would highly, highly recommend meditating, even if it's just for 3 or 4 minutes or even 1 minute before you do any interview. It will really help to ground and center you. And there are so many ways that you can do that, even breathing in to the count of four, 1, 2, 3, 4, holding your breath for 6 seconds or 8 seconds, and then breathing out a little bit longer than you breathed in. So perhaps breathe into the count of four, hold your breath and hold that in for 6 seconds, and then breathe out to the count of eight. And that will immediately calm your nerves. Even if you just do that once before an interview, it can be very, very powerful. And I'm certainly looking forward to talking to Richard a little bit more about that as well. And on that note, we are having a fun panel with some of my favorite teachers and leaders from around the world. In fact, many have been guests here on this show on Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific time on awaketvnetwork.live. It'll be a free Humanity Rising panel that I'll be facilitating with Dr. Roland McCready from HeartMath Institute, who's going to be sharing some incredible grounding HeartMath techniques that I would highly recommend. Arthur Joseph, who has joined us here on the show twice, and talks to you about how to connect to your voice and to use your voice to be a leader in your life. Amanda Masters from Awake TV. Michael Ventura from Sub Rosa, who's joined us here before, talking about how we can apply empathy in our lives. And Sister Dr. Jenna, who's actually going to be sharing about meditation. And this whole panel that we'll be doing on Wednesday morning will be about exploring how to extend the space and the pause post-COVID and how we can use this space, the same space I'm talking about by observing your breath and meditating, into the future so that way we can create a future we want. Rather than having a reactive future, we can have a proactive future. So lots of cool stuff going on. Again, all those things I mentioned are free on awaketvnetwork.live. You don't even have to subscribe. You can just go ahead and click those and those will pull up for you. And I want to thank you. It's always such a pleasure. It's been so much fun hosting this show over the last 4.5 years. And do please check us out on iTunes. Any sort of feedback you have helps me to develop and find the right guests for you and to make sure we're providing content that's valuable for you. So if you like today's show, hit subscribe on iTunes. You can also, it's under Get Yourself the Job on iTunes. You can also leave us any comments, leave us some ratings. That would be helpful as well. And that just helps us to help you have better content for the future. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure having you here today, and I wish you a safe, wonderful, healthy, and happy rest of your week.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.